Is it possible for the Apostle Paul to teach the doctrine of faith alone without using the words faith alone? Find out in my column in the Latest Issues Etc. Journal. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Katie Price Vogel writes about her journey from the false assurance of works in Roman Catholicism to the true assurance of Jesus' accomplished work in the Lutheran Confession. The free online Issues Etc. journal, issuesetc.org.
The Bible tells us that we shall know the truth, and the truth shall make us free. We shall know the truth. Well, here is the God's truth about January 6, 2021.
The liberal media and the left, instead of sort of rejoicing that they now have partners to take on these issues, they moved the goalpost about what counts as racism so that they could smear all conservatives as racists.
But when the justices, especially the liberal ones, were focused on the policy arguments, you better get the facts right, and they completely dropped the ball on that.
What we're seeing here are people who are claiming to be sent by God with words that God has not given them. But the one person that we can rule out in every one of these so-called prophecies is God, the Holy Spirit.
And that is a very dangerous task to set ourselves to. It's a very dangerous expectation to bring to God, to say that we need our own individualized revelation because the scriptures are not sufficient for us.
Nurses in Wyoming who volunteer with EMS love Issues Etc.
Well, the last 2+ years of a global pandemic have shown us a lot of things. We've learned a lot of things. We've learned who the authoritarians are and who the people who kind of like authoritarianism are. We've learned about a lot about our public health system and its weaknesses and strength. We've learned what our kids were learning in school. And many of us are not happy about it. The question is, what do you do about it? You can file lawsuits. You can try and replace bad school board members. But is that enough? Greetings and welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in live on this Thursday afternoon, the 27th of January. We'll be talking with Joy Pullman of The Federalist about American parents and the last 2 years of COVID, what we've learned about our schools. It's part three of our series on the book of James, Dr. Curtis Giese, in about a half hour. He is author of The Issues Etc., Book of the Month for January, the New Concordia Commentary on James. Joining us to talk about American parents and schools, Joy Pullman, managing editor of The Federalist, author of the book The Education Invasion, and a recent column titled, If Parents Pulled Their Kids from School for COVID Insanity, It Would Already Be Over. Joy, welcome back.
Hi there, Todd. Thanks for having me.
What have parents of school-aged children been facing for the last 2 years?
You know, it's been clear that the lockdowns of COVID that put a lot of kids' instruction online informed parents a lot more about what their kids are actually being taught or not taught in the classrooms. And a lot of parents, that confirmed a lot of the uneasiness that American parents have had for many decades now with public instruction. So there have been a variety of complaints coming forth. Some of the major ones getting headlines are things, you know, pretty much everybody has seen. There's, you know, been plenty of viral clips of parents at school board meetings, especially talking about institutionalized racism in public school curriculum and staffing. There's been a lot of complaints also about basically pornographic books being brought to children by teachers and through school libraries and other public libraries. You know, so things of, you know, not just kind of arcane bits of knowledge, such as there have been at other times, there's been education controversies, but very deep and serious moral issues that really also, you know, seem pretty clear cut. That's part of the reason that people are so agitated about them is that, you know, it's very clearly racism, very clearly pornography being given to children. And so parents really don't like this, and they've been honorably, you know, rightfully trying to exercise some of their authority in telling schools they don't want their kids doing that. They don't want tax, you know, paid and government-run institutions doing that.
There have been some lawsuits. There have been attempts to replace bad school board members or bad school boards entirely. And they're kind of long-term strategies. Why do you say they're insufficient?
Well, the first thing is that they really don't provide any immediate relief to children. You know, it takes at least a year and sometimes 3 or 4 years to renovate a school board. And then it's going to take more time after that for that school board to possibly fire or replace a superintendent and any other personnel. You know, so we're talking 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 years before these major complaints and the roots of them can possibly be addressed. And that's the same thing with a lawsuit. It takes many, many years for lawsuits to work their way through various courts. And on all that time, kids are continuing in many cases, not all cases, but in many of these cases, to be sitting in classrooms that the their own parents are saying are saturated with racism and pornography. So it's a little bit, it's kind of like either the parents are making it up and they're not really serious when they say it's racism or pornography, or they don't, you know, actually believe that racism or pornography are reasons to get their children out quick. you know, as a parent, I have a different opinion about the seriousness of those moral matters and many other things that schools do while parents are not, you know, mostly not looking.
So what message does keeping your kid in a bad school, a school that ignores your parental concerns, what message does that send to those in charge of the school?
I mean, it clearly sends the message that you don't think these concerns are really that bad, because again, you know, if you, for me, you know, racism being taught to my children is an instant withdrawal of my child from that institution kind of offense. But if, you know, just to me, it's like a complete non-starter. I was just raised that way and so forth. Same thing with pornography. Like, there's no way. And, you know, I'm going to let my child be in an environment in which they might be shown pornography by anyone, let alone an authority figure. Any pastors, you know, anyone with any experience with this knows that not only is, you know, that, I mean, exposure to pornography can often, you know, quickly lead the child to then have to deal with that as a habitual sin that affects so many other things in their life. So those are complete non-starters. And a lot of parents, you know, really feel that in their guts and they're aware of that. But then, you know, kind of there's this disconnect between feeling the real moral weight of these kinds of things happening and being sanctioned or allowed by basically, you know, all people in positions of authority in the institutions allowing it. You know, if you have a teacher that's teaching your child to be racist or giving your child pornography, that teacher is basically never fired. It's not, the teachers are almost never sanctioned by their principal, by their school board, by the state board of education. It's an uphill battle for parents to even get lawmakers to pass laws, you know, saying that it's not okay to teach kids racism or show them pornography, you know. So this is a massive system-wide failure at basically every level. If these, you know, if people in all these positions of authority will not act to do so, you know, to handle, to use their authority rightly to address these serious moral injustices and wrongs, then they won't act to, you know, basically do anything else that they ought to be using their authority for. So, and if, and that includes parents, you know, parents are kind of the place the buck ought to stop with a child. And a parent who, you know, is aware that these things are so evil, their child shouldn't be exposed to them, but then continues to send his or her child to the very schools that continue to allow that to happen with completely no repercussions or acknowledgement, that is just a completely untenable situation.
I think that is what a lot of parents have found so infuriating and frustrating, is that not only was this being done without their knowledge, but that when they do raise these concerns, well, sometimes there's denial, but more often than not, there's kind of a tacit acknowledgement that, yeah, we're doing these things, but what's the big deal?
Either that or we're doing these things and you are a bigot for objecting to them. you know, just kind of a turning of the tables there, right? But that's like, you know, classic strategy of an evildoer, right, is called projection, to accuse other people of doing what the evildoer is in fact doing. So that's rampant in our society and in these public debates that parents are having right now. You're right. Parents really, really do feel completely stuck and frustrated and like they're spinning their wheels. But I think that's because they really haven't actually attributed some of their inability to kind of unstuck themselves to the endless kind of mind fog created by constantly changing school situations with shutdowns, you know, with sending everyone home for Zoom school again, with rule changing. That really exhausts your brain and your ability to think. So that's a condition, you know, that that does affect people's decision making. But, you know, not only, you know, 2 years into all of this, these kinds of serious revelations, But, you know, 2 years of continued basically reducing people's ability to think clearly and make better decisions based on the information on the ground, it's really time for people to stop sitting there. You know, 2 years is long enough to not be able to know what to do. And it's time for people to start saying, well, you know, if this is going to be the situation at the school, if this entire system enabled, you know, a situation in which a teacher can bring pornography to a child and not face any repercussions, my child shouldn't be a part of that system, and neither should my family. And I realize that education is kind of, you know, one piece of an entire ecosystem of a family life. But to me, I kind of, you know, again, racism and pornography and other things of that sort of moral weight should be five alarm fires, code red, instances for a family that we, you know, they decide, you know, should motivate them to say, wow, this is so bad that it requires us to make some very big changes here because of what we've been finding.
Joy Pullman is our guest. She's managing editor of The Federalist. We're talking about American parents and schools. When we come back, what should they do? Stay tuned. Is it possible for the Apostle Paul to teach the doctrine of faith alone without using the words faith alone? Find out in my column in the latest issues, etc. journal. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Katie Price Vogel writes about her journey from the false assurance of works in Roman Catholicism to the true assurance of Jesus' accomplished work in the Lutheran Confession. The free online Issues Etc. journal, issuesetc.org.
Our Christian faith is under constant attack, and we must be proactive in keeping our children in the church. At Faith Lutheran School in Plano, Texas, we believe that an education rooted in God's Word is one that stands against the very gates of hell. Nothing in this world is more important. Offering a rigorous classical Lutheran education, we provide in-person and live online remote learning opportunities for preschool through grade 12. To learn more, visit flsplano.org, flsplano.org.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans, you're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Deaconess Betsy Dodgers at Concordia University Chicago, inviting all high school students to attend the annual Careers for Christ weekend in person on our beautiful campus in River Forest. Careers for Christ is February 4th through 6th. You'll have the opportunity to learn about professional church vocations while having fun with CUC staff, faculty, and students. For more information, visit cuchicago.edu/C4C.
Every word of Scripture is really just unpacking how the cross of Christ makes everything so different.
Listen to chapel services live weekday mornings from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Weekday mornings at 9 Central, 10 Eastern, 8 Mountain, and 7 Pacific at issuesetc.org.
Because Christ died for you, you are forgiven.
We're discussing American parents and school COVID policies with Joy Pullman of The Federalist. I'm Todd Wilkin. You're linked to Issues Etc. If you're looking for alternatives to public school, check out Faith Lutheran School, Plano, Texas. Faith Lutheran provides a classical Lutheran education for preschool through 12th grade. Live online high school classes are available for students worldwide, with classes in real time via two-way video with teacher and student interaction. Registration for the 22-23 school year begins February 1st. Learn more at flsplano.org, Faith Lutheran School, Plano, Texas, flsplano.org. So, Joy, what should parents do when confronted with this intractable problems, not only the COVID restrictions, but also the subject matter their kids are being exposed to in schools?
I mean, quite frankly, parents should not put their children in any school that is institutionally racist or exposing children to pornography. Again, that a school that would do that forfeits all of its moral authority over anybody. And it should forfeit all of its funding, as well as, you know, all the other kind of resources that it controls. But that's, again, that's kind of a longer term project. And the most immediate need is to get children out of schools that are teaching them things that are that morally abominable. And if parents don't, you know, if it's not a code red, a hard no for a parent that their child might possibly be exposed to pornography in school, then they really, I think, need to kind of check their their ethics, kind of think through things a little bit more deeply and consider, you know, whether they're placing, you know, money or convenience above the price of their child's eternal soul. And, you know, I'm a parent, I'm a sinner. We parents don't always make those right decisions, you know, but when something this clear really comes along, it is a good prompting by the Holy Spirit to start doing some good, hard and long thinking. And I also think that communities, Christian communities, especially in families, need to come alongside parents and make that possible for them. I'm aware of the heavy heft of asking people to homeschool their kids or put them in a private school financially. I do it personally, you know, so that's a sacrifice we've made as a family. And so I know how that feels. But I mean, to be honest, you know, the material sacrifices that we've made to do that for our kids are completely incomparable to, you know, the preciousness of what, you know, giving that a wonderful, a wholesome, a filled with light and life, and not just kind of like restricted for the possibly the worst possible things that they might encounter. You know, just the contrast between what children could be doing in school and what most children are doing is also kind of shameful. It's a delight to have my kids being given, frankly, so much more than I was as a child. That can be very difficult for families sometimes. And it is a responsibility, I think, of a church community and of their extended family to, you know, come alongside them, make that financially and institutionally possible for as many, you know, basically all the families that are within their sphere of responsibilities.
With about a minute here, you say the real fight here is about money. How so?
I mean, the real problem and the reason that schools are able to mass abuse children and get away with it is that they get money regardless of what they do to kids. That's been clear throughout, you know, all of the COVID lockdowns. You know, the data has been clear from almost the beginning about that basically everything that schools and those overseeing them have chosen to do to children, harming them very clearly, has not been supported by the data and the research. And they've done that anyway. So they've chosen to sacrifice children for finances. And again, you know, that's been a pretty good bet for them. But families who don't think that their children's souls, you know, should be traded for 30 pieces of silver, should, you know, look into ways to reclaim the resources and their children, first of all. And that includes, you know, telling state lawmakers, hey, you shouldn't be funding schools that are mass abusing children. But the first priority, of course, for any individual family is to get your kids out of an abusive situation as quickly as possible, and ask your friends and family and church to help you do that.
Joy Pullman is managing editor of The Federalist. She is author of the book, The Education Invasion, and a recent column titled, If Parents Pulled Their Kids from School for COVID Insanity, It Would Already Be Over. You can read Joy's columns and purchase The Education Invasion on the Talk on Demand Archives page at issuesetc.org. Joy, thanks.
Thank you.
In the last half hour of the program, Dr. Curtis Giese joins us. We've been talking about the book of James, and our conversation continues as we move from chapter 1 in James into chapter 2. Stay tuned. If you appreciate Issues Etc., our 24/7 music and talk stations, and our daily verse-by-verse Bible study, The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, please include a bequest in your will or trust for these worldwide media resources. Bequests aren't subject to federal tax or capital gains taxes. Ensure your children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren the opportunity to listen by including a bequest in your will or trust for Issues Etc., Lutheran Public Radio, and The Word of the Lord Endures Forever.
What do you know about Islam or Judaism or Buddhism? Well, if you've wondered how these teachings, these religions, relate to Christianity, or in particular Lutheranism, you're in luck. The February issue of the Lutheran Witness is all about Lutheranism and the world religions. To pick up your copy, visit cph.org/witness or learn more at our website, witness.lcms.org. The Lutheran Witness, helping you interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective.
Job saw the city as a wasteland, as if devoid of God, witnessing injustice to the poor by the corrupt, lawlessness of criminals, trafficking of children, blatant immorality, thinking God could not see wicked deeds done in the dark of night. Yet God never abandoned Job, nor his city, groaning for mercy. God is working through the living Redeemer, hands etched with salvation, pointing to the resurrection to come. Join us at lcms.org/citymission to seek peace and shine the light in the city.
Mount Zion Lutheran Church in Greenfield, Wisconsin, is a congregation of those gathered by the Spirit of the Lord around His saving Word and sacraments. At the center of our life together is the divine service of the risen Jesus, the Lamb of God who was slain, who takes away the sin of the world. If you are in the Milwaukee area, we invite you to share with us in our Lord's gifts of forgiveness and new life. Services are on Saturdays at 5 p.m. and Sundays at 9 a.m. For more information, visit our website at MountZionGreenfield.org.
We love our on-demand listeners. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Is it hard? Yes. Will it challenge you? Absolutely. Is it a blessing from God for you and those you will serve? Without question.
Dr. Lawrence Rast, president of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.
The pastoral ministry is all of these things, and that's why Concordia Theological Seminary exists, to form servants in Jesus Christ who teach the faithful, reach the lost, and care for all. Men from all over the world with a variety of unique backgrounds come to our campus to receive faithful training that will equip them for the challenging but blessed work of serving as pastors in Christ's church.
Learn more about studying for the vocation of pastor at ctsfw.edu or call 1-800-481-2155. Christ-centered worship, confessional theology, Lutheran community, Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.